Chapter 4. Joff Seastriker had been born and raised on the planet Gatalenta, a world as warm as it was tranquil, famed for its tea, its meditative retreats, and lengthy erudite poetry. People slept to the sound of wind chimes and woke to thank their suns for rising each day. Gatalenta offered serenity, silence, and calm. Joff hadn't been able to get off Gatalenta fast enough because he was bored as hell. For as long as he could remember, Joff had longed for excitement, for adventure. In his class, he was always the loudest, the most restless, and the least content. So his mothers placidly accepted Joff's desire to join the New Republic military. Maybe it wasn't like the old days, where you got to be a hero, but at least he could fly the best starfighters and travel around the galaxy. Although he'd left Gatalenta for the Academy only 4 years ago, Joff felt sometimes as if he'd lived on his home planet in a completely different lifetime. He'd never once looked back. Well, sometimes he missed the wind chimes, but that was it. Upon graduation a few weeks before, he'd been assigned to the Precision Air Team. Less than a week ago, he'd been doing starbursts high above the statue dedication ceremony, grinning in triumph as he swooped high into the clouds. At the time, it had seemed about as good as duty got. But now, he'd been assigned as a military escort to a senatorial mission, to one headed into the criminal underworld, no less. That was the kind of excitement he'd been craving all along. Joff brought his X-Wing fighter into the Senate hangar, spinning it around sharply to land next to the ship, even now being loaded with supplies. Sure enough, the info grid on his console told him this was the Mirror Bright, personal spacecraft of Senator Leia Organa herself. He took some satisfaction in determining that he was, in fact, the only X-Wing pilot around. During the past few days, his orders had fluctuated several times, from being part of an entire squadron to accompany the senators on their mission, to being told that there would be no military escort at all. Apparently, there had been some bickering higher up about this. Joff neither knew nor cared about the details. The air in the hangar smelled of rubber, grease, and solder. In the distance, he saw low-level maintenance droids shuffling from craft to craft and sparks flying from repair torches. The Mirror Bright stood out from the others the way the moon outshone the stars, its surface a glossy white and its edges curved, broadcasting its status as a civilian craft. Joff hopped out of the cockpit with a grin on his face. As his boots thudded on the tarmac, he caught a glimpse of the person he assumed was the Mirror Bright's pilot, sitting on a storage crate with her back to Joff as she checked in the material being loaded aboard. Her gray jumpsuit was civilian issue, as was the heavy woolen shawl draped across her shoulders. Her thick black hair hung loose down her back, another hint that she'd never been military.
"Still, she's your co-pilot for this entire mission. So play it cool, make a good first impression, and for once in your life, don't try too hard," Joff thought.
As he stepped closer, she heard his approach and turned. She was the kind of pretty that wasn't merely seen. Instead, it hit you like a tidal wave. Lustrous black hair, full lips, deep coppery skin. But no sooner had the rush of infatuation spilled over him than it subsided. This woman was so far out of Joff's league that even a crush was impossible. It would have been like getting lovesick over a sunset. He relaxed and walked forward with a grin.
"I'm Lieutenant Joff Seastriker, and I'm your escort for the mission."
She frowned.
"Your Seastriker?"
Joff had run into disbelief before. He kept promising himself not to get defensive about it, but it was hard to resist.
"You can check my ID and everything. If you think I'm too short, well, I'm 1.5 millimeters above minimum regulation height."
1.5,
she repeated, and he could have winced. Joff could never quite keep himself from adding the half, but he hated it when people thought he was a mechanic instead. Still, her smile was warm rather than mocking, and she held out her hand.
I'm Greer Sahnal, the senator's assistant and pilot of the Mirror Bright. Glad to have you along.
A political staffer and a pilot? That seemed like a strange combination. Before Joff could inquire, though, Greer continued,
If you ask me, we ought to bring a couple of extra starfighters. Bastatha's no place for law-abiding people.
Have you been there?
No, but I've worked with pilots who have. All underworld spaceports are potentially dangerous. Bastatha isn't one of the worst, but we'll have to watch ourselves.
Greer patted the nose of the Mirror Bright.
At least we've made a few custom modifications that should allow her to hold her own if we run into any trouble.
Joff realized the Mirror Bright's unconventional W shape allowed for weapons stations to be tucked into the corners, unobtrusive and almost invisible. While the average transport would have no weaponry save perhaps defensive shielding, this ship could probably hold its own in a firefight. So the senator believes in peaceful negotiations, huh? Greer's full lips quirked in a smile.
Let's just say she believes in being prepared. Her husband and I installed these guns a few years ago, when I first started working for him.
Her husband? Stay calm. Do not freak out. Don't say the name Han Solo, unless you're totally sure your voice won't squeak. No, Captain Solo?
I won the Junior Sabers competition a few years back.
Greer shifted from foot to foot.
Ancient history.
Anyone good enough to win a Sabers race, even at the junior level, knew what she was doing. Joff wanted to be impressed, but instead he felt intensely jealous. While he'd been taking exams at the academy, she'd been out winning races, flying with the Han Solo, and having all the exciting times he'd been denied. Not that excitement was a finite resource some people used up before others could get their share, but still.
I'll get my chance,
he reminded himself. From the sound of things, Bastatha might provide plenty of opportunities for action. Good morning. Across the hangar walked Senator Organa, although it took Joff a moment to recognize her. Instead of formal senatorial robes, she wore a simple cream-colored tunic and leggings, and her hair was gathered into a braid down her back. How's she looking, Greer?
She's ready to fly when you give the word,
Greer promised.
And our X-Wing escort just showed up. Senator, this is Lieutenant Joff Seastriker. Joff, this is Senator Leia Organa.
Pleased to meet you, ma'am. Wait, was that right? I mean, Senator, or, Princess. No, Your Highness.
A golden protocol droid shuffling up behind them said,
Either Senator or Your Highness at first reference. Ma'am or Princess Leia is acceptable thereafter.
That's C-3PO, Princess Leia said with a skyward glance and a shake of her head. For a legendary war hero, she turned out to be pretty grounded. Don't worry. He'll tell you more about etiquette than you ever wanted to know. 3PO worries about it so I don't have to. And this is our staff intern, Cor Sela. Cor couldn't have been more than 16, which meant Joff wasn't the youngest person on the mission. Compared with her, he was experienced. Worldly, even. He felt more confident already, and the mission was looking up. Until a male voice called,
Are we ready for departure?
Everyone tensed. Joff turned to see a tall, pale, skinny guy walking toward them in a blue velvet cloak that would have been appropriate on the floor of the Senate or at a wedding, but was absurdly posh for a hangar bay.
Very nearly, Senator Castelfo,
C-3PO said cheerfully.
You're right on time, sir.
Castelfo stopped short, apparently taken aback to see everyone else in standard space jockey attire. Although Princess Leia smiled at Castelfo, it was the kind of smile that hit harder than a punch. Cor bit her lower lip, and Greer's sigh clearly meant something like, Oh, brother, here we go. Joff could almost have felt sorry for the guy, if Castelfo weren't so obviously in love with himself.
Well,
Senator Castelfo didn't seem to know what else to say to the shabbier people around him.
I'll have the droids load my trunks aboard.
Please do. With that,
Princess Leia headed onto the Mirrorbright herself, either to check things over pre-launch, or to avoid Casterfo as long as possible. Probably both. Once all the higher-ups had walked away, Joff muttered,
"Is it my imagination, or did the temperature in here just drop almost to freezing?"
Greer gave him a sideways glance.
"Let's put it this way. You're going to have a way more comfortable ride in that X-Wing than we will on the Mirrorbright, because it's only getting colder from here."
Leia remained in her cabin for as long as possible during the voyage to Bastatha, using the hours to snatch a quick nap and then send another communique to Luke and Ben. The Force alone knew when they would hear it. Luke's last message to her had been a while ago and badly corrupted by radiation interference. Wherever they were in the galaxy, they were cut off from communication for the time being. Only at the end of the trip did she prepare herself for the diplomatic visit. Her deep maroon gown had been richly embroidered in blue and silver at the edges, and she had ornamented her long braid with dull pewter pins inset with small glittering stones. More flashy than valuable, but in a place like Bastatha, where style was forced to stand in for substance, a little theater went a long way. When she could procrastinate no longer, Leia emerged from her cabin, determined to face Casterfo as calmly as possible. But he was nowhere to be seen. From the cockpit, Greer called,
"He just gave up, a few minutes ago."
"Oh yeah?"
Leia went into the cockpit herself. Greer sat at the main controls, but there was a chair for a co-pilot or auxiliary gunner, currently empty. When Leia sank down into it, she saw the strange, warped blue waves of hyperspace in front of them, beckoning and forbidding all at once.
"What did he say?"
Greer shrugged.
"He tried to make conversation with Corey, until she came up with some excuse about reviewing her work. Then he talked with me for a little bit about racing, where he actually knows his stuff, so give him some points there."
Leia couldn't help chuckling.
"You'd forgive anyone if he had a fast enough cruiser, wouldn't you, Greer?"
"Or if he backs the right teams."
Greer's smile made her seem even younger than her years, like the scrap of a girl she'd been when Leia first met her. Han had taken countless young pilots under his wing during the past several years, many of whom remained close to them both even now. His willingness to take on the role of mentor was one of the first things she'd noticed about Han Solo years ago. Well, one of the first things she'd liked about him. For all his griping about farm boys, Han had dedicated himself to Luke in the days after the first Death Star's destruction. Leia had watched as Luke slowly overcame his grief for Obi-Wan Kenobi and his aunt and uncle, while learning about gunnery, ship repair, and countless other things from Han. The sarcasm and wit Han used disguised his concern from Luke, and even Leia took a while to realize that Han was looking out for her, too. Han was just as committed to his current crop of young pilots. Leia wished she could believe he mentored them out of the same impulse that had led him to befriend Luke. Probably on some level he did. But Han was also teaching these kids the same lessons he'd wanted to teach their son. Footsteps from behind made Leia turn around just in time to see Casterfo stepping back into the main living area. His velvet cloak had crumpled somewhat during their journey in hyperspace, but he drew himself upright with as much dignity as he could muster.
"I take it we're nearing the Bastatha system?"
"Not quite."
Greer didn't glance away from her controls.
"But it's only going to be a few more minutes."
Leia got to her feet and strolled past Casterfo, the better to help herself to some Gadolinian tea from the Mirrorbright's stores. As she busied herself with its preparation, she said, "I take it your accommodations are comfortable, Senator Casterfo?" She expected him to reply in kind, formal, stiff, and barely within the boundaries of courtesy. Instead, Casterfo stepped to her side, where it was impossible not to look at him.
"Senator Organa, I realize our initial conference went poorly, in large part due to my own tactlessness. My conversation was more theoretical in nature, philosophical."
What philosophy is it that leads you to worship the Empire? Leia thought, but did not say. The man was trying to be polite, and she could at least respect the effort. They had a job to do on Vestatha, a potentially important one. There was no point in letting Casterfo's distasteful politics get in the way.
And in my enthusiasm for the concept of monarchy, I failed to take your personal experiences into account, he continued. We both said things that were ill-advised, but your reason for speaking so heatedly was far more excusable than my own. I can only hope you will forgive me.
Leia had been a diplomat too long not to recognize a good apology when she heard one. I understand, Senator Casterfo. Please don't worry about it any longer. The past is the past, and we have work to do.
My thoughts precisely.
Casterfo straightened the collar of his cloak as he pulled himself back up to his full height. Whatever sense of humility he'd mustered had already dissolved.
On to Vestatha.